It's salt time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. You know what I'm talking about. You can find that on YouTube. We've seen that. That's kind of me this morning. I hope you are too, by the way. Oh, I did that yesterday. I did that yesterday when I was talking to some principal, some guy on the airline. I did that. Oh, get your finger out of my face. We have become such wimpy men. I have you guys noticed this? I talk with my hands. You notice that? I talk. In fact, if you tied my hands, I probably couldn't talk. Wouldn't be able to, right? So, hey, welcome. It's, what is this? This is Tuesday morning, September 15th, back home from Wisconsin, where we had a wonderful time. And I gotta thank Rob Pugh for going above and beyond the call of duty yesterday. I'm going to get into that a little bit here. I spent a lot of time this morning on my show prep because I was looking for a specific clip from the Rush Limbaugh show, and I'll explain all that to you here in a second as well. And try to go. Hey, Mike, let's play. I'm mad as hell. Okay, I'm mad as hell today. Now listen. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good. For those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. All things. Doesn't say everything will be good. It doesn't say nothing will make you mad. It doesn't say nothing will frustrate you. It doesn't say that you won't get knocked down on your butt. It doesn't say that you're not going to get angry and frustrated and want to lose. It doesn't say that. It says all things will work together for good. For those who love the Lord, that's me, and are called according to his purpose. I believe that's me. So it means no matter what happens, somehow, some way, the Lord's going to make good out of it. Now, hang on. It doesn't say it's going to be good for me. Romans 8:28. Can you pull that up there real quick, Mike? I'm sorry. I got jumping around here this morning. It's this kind of stream of consciousness as we run through this thing. Romans 8:28. Attaboy. Romans 8:28. All right. Go to 26, Mike. It's up on your screen right now. Folks, this is really, really important. I really do try to live my life according to this verse right here. And not only they, likewise, verse 26. No, verse 25, 24. 23. And not only they, this is one, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. This is always the danger of taking scripture out of context. I rarely do this. That's why I'm trying to find a good starting spot, because you have to read before for it all to make sense. And not only they, but ourselves also, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Praise the Lord, I got the first fruits of the Spirit, Joseph. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. I did some groaning within myself yesterday. Anybody say amen on that one? Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I was groaning inside yesterday, but wasn't over that. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen ain't hope. That's a good one, isn't it? Hope that is seen isn't hope. For what a man sees, why do you have to hope for it if you see it? But if we hope for that, what we see not, then you do with patience, wait for it. And then likewise, while you're waiting for it, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. That gets into the whole idea of speaking in tongues, prayer language, all that stuff. I'm not going to go there today. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth. Who? He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Folks, notice that's not a capital H. That's a little h, he, meaning us. He that searches the heart knoweth. You search your own heart. You search your own heart, you're going to find out what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. With me? Wish everything was good, but it isn't. It tells us in Romans 5 that we're to, pardon me, I got a throat today.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people think that verse reads, everything always works out for the best. It doesn't say that. It
doesn't say it.
Says for good.
That's right. So Romans 5 real quick, Mike, if you could. Romans 5, just a little lesson here before we dive into what's going on. Sorry about the frog in my throat here. Romans chapter 5 says, and not only so, verse 3, but we glory in tribulation also. Huh? Glory in tribulation? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. It's like kneading some dough. You just keep working that tribulation and it's going to bring some patience. And patience brings experience. And experience brings hope. It's kind of a recipe, isn't it? And hope keeps you from not being ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So, I thank God for yesterday. Say, what are you talking about, Coach? Well, yesterday, we were, folks, this is germane, so stay with me here. Not German, germane. Let me stop for a second. I got a real nice email from Lindell this morning. Hey, Lindell, come on in here, man. Can't. Got a real nice email. I'm not gonna read an email that he sent me, but you're still out there, right, Lindell? We don't always hear you every day, but you're still out there, and you gave a real tip of the cap to in the email today to Tim Tubra.
I'm here.
Tim
Coach.
Tubra out there, and all Tim Tubra's done for you. You're still out there, Lindell. I got my Lindell hat right over here. Hang on. Lindell left his hat when he came to Ohio. I still have it right here. And he sent me a real nice email today. And Lindell, thank you, man. What do you got to share?
You can read it.
What do you got to share? Well, okay, let me read it.
You can read it if you want to.
You did say that. And this kind of stuff just encouraged me. He says, hello, Coach. I believe you still have my hat. Yeah, I do. I just want to thank you for your show and especially gathering like-minded people. Amen, Lindell. That's what we try to do. I've met several people through the Salt Light Brigade who've been constant friends. Tim Tubra, Gary Donahoe, Rob Pugh, Brian from Pennsylvania, Tony Sumner, Chad, just to name a few. And I'm eternally grateful that I met Tim Tubra and he taught me about the doctrine in Romans where Christ, you see, I had no idea I was justified. I'm going to get Tim on here and let Tim do that teaching on justification. I had no idea I was justified. I believed the doctrines, but I didn't know that I knew. Tim walked me through the doctrine of the Romans, the anchor of our life, how we're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift. Christ imputes his righteousness to us when we believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. There is 100% no way that you can earn it. Jesus Christ died for our sins and was raised for our justification. We're starting a Roman study with a believe this or not, we're starting a Roman study with the New Zealand salt and light. Lindell's down in, where are you, Lindell?
Peru.
Lindell's in Peru, and he's starting a study with the New Zealand boys. We're excited about this. And if you know of anyone in the eastern part of the world who would like to join, let us know. Also, we're still doing studies on Tuesday nights if anyone else would like to join us. Thanks again, Coach. See you on the air or in the air. Eternally grateful, Lindell. So, Lindell, what do you got going on that these guys can join you with?
What? I'm sorry, what was that?
Well, you said you got something people want to join you. Where do they get information, Lindell, if they want to join a Bible study or if they want to whatever? How do they connect with you, bud?
Well, it's probably just better to email me, but yeah, this just totally came about just from talking with Tony
Tony's in New Zealand, right? Tony's in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Lindell's in Peru.
17 hours different, but it's great.
Tim's on the West Coast.
Yeah. We're doing that, and we're still doing the Tuesday night Bible studies.
So, folks, if you want to connect with Lindell, just email me and I'll connect you with Lindell. If you want to.
Okay. Works.
That would work out good. Connect one of his Bible studies or anything like that. Bless you, Lindell. Appreciate you being out there, man. And your hat sits right here on my desk every day. Lindell came to one of our first ever boot camps. Came all the way in and left his hat. That's how that thing happens to still be there. Bless you, Lindell. So let's see, Coach. Where were you before you got distracted here? I didn't get distracted. I'm looking at this. Anybody got something they want to spout off before I get really spouting off? We're sold out. Told ya. We're sold out here at Sky High on October 3, 2, 3, and 4, whenever it is. We're sold out. Tactical training. And just yesterday, we added David. Get my brain. Get Paxton. I knew it. Find it. David Paxton is going to come and do drones. Drone training. In fact, I was so impressed with his drone training in Missouri that I bought one. I bought a drone. You can buy a drone for $100. You can buy one for $200. You can buy one for $5,000. But David showed us a good one that you can get for about $350 with some add-ons, get it up maybe to $500. And it came yesterday. So he's going to be doing drone training. Now, some of you would like to come and didn't get on the calendar, just let me know. Say, Coach, put me on the waiting list. But we set the limit at 50, and we reached that limit yesterday. And we aim to please. So God bless you. And again, Rob, we had a great, great time up at Rob's. So on the way home yesterday, most of you know, I ain't wearing no stinking mask. Now, this is really, really a tough issue for all of us to think about, right? Because Michelle and I, before we left we left last Thursday. Before we left, we said, you know, honey, we might have to wear a mask. I said to her, we might have to wear a mask. You prepared for that? And so then you get to the situation. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I know I ain't taking no vaccination. I ain't taking one. And I'm not putting on any mask unless. So we fly out of Columbus, Ohio. Michelle and I have already prepared in our hearts what we're going to do. And we walk into the Port Columbus airport. Don't have a mask on. You walk in, there's a big sign, masks required. Mask everywhere you look, everywhere you go. Over the PA, masks, social, over and over. We walk through the airport without one of these on. I didn't even have one in my hand. Wasn't prepared to wear one. Walked down, checked in, United Airlines. The girl checking us in, I didn't have a mask on. She never said a word. She checked in our bag. We walked down, we went through TSA. Stood in that line, went through 2SA, never put a mask on, went through there. They patted me down on the belly. They did all that stuff. Never anybody said a word to me about having a mask on, even though signs were everywhere. I got to stop because I think this is very, very critical, folks. One of the things that the enemy is doing is he's teaching us not to respect the law. They are making demands that are so unreasonable that the average person doesn't follow them. And what that ends up doing is creating a lawless country. It creates a situation where people do not have a fear or respect for the law. It's not about masks. Trust me, it's not about that. The Bible calls it antinomianism, against law, right? That's what they're trying to do. They make it so confusing. So we walk, we go through TSA, go down and get on the, sit in the chair where the United, getting ready to board United, people walking everywhere. Most have masks, some don't have masks. Nobody says a word. All of a sudden they call for us to board. I get up, I don't have a mask. Michelle gets up, she doesn't have a mask. We walk down there, the guy clicks our ticket. We walk in, have a good flight, sir. Have a good flight, sir. I don't have a mask on. I walk on the plane. I don't have a mask on. The stewardess says, how you doing? Welcome aboard. Doesn't have a mask on. We'll walk back, sit down in my seat. In fact, we were crowded kind of in the back. So I said, can we move? Michelle and I moved. And this, yes, no mask on. Fly, have a good flight. Nice stewardess. Land in Chicago. Walk through the Chicago airport. I did a video on that. Mike, maybe you can go to my Facebook page real quick. I think I showed that the other day, didn't I? On my Facebook page. That when we walked through them, that we're just nothing but a bunch of sheep. Keep on going down there, Mike, I think. I don't know. I don't know where it is. There it is. Is that it? Yeah, there it is. So there I am walking through the Chicago airport with a mask dangling off of my face. Nobody stops me. Nobody says anything to me. Nothing, right? Most people have on masks. I didn't have a mask. I was doing a little bit of I was having a little bit of fun here, showing how ridiculous it is. So then we get on we go to the gate to fly to Wausau. Guy checks us in. I got my cross hat on. Michelle and I walk in, very obvious mask, dangling, making a joke and everything. And I go sit down in my seat. We sit in our seats. And the most unbelievable Nazi stewardess comes at us like a hawk. So we sit down. And she is all over us about the mask. You know, get it up, pull it up to your nose. I'm really, really badgering. It's not being, she obviously had a bone to pick with me, I think. So Michelle and I pushed back, and we said, Michelle has one of those little cards that says that she has a medical reason not to wear one. And the stewardess never asked me, really. Well, I do have a medical reason. Some of you know I had a heart attack a year and a half ago. I got AFib. Not to be worried. I have religious reasons. I don't want to wear a mask. It's not a law, right? So anyway, this lady just badgers us like you can't even believe. And she went and got the police. Not the police, sorry. She went up and got the captain. Folks, we're sitting down having a normal conversation with this Nazi. You will wear the mask. You will pull it up over your nose. Blah, 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 blah. And Michelle's chirping back at her, sitting in our chairs, being perfectly polite. And the next thing I know, she goes and gets the principal, the captain. And the captain comes walking back to us, and he's very, very nice. I said, listen, we're going to comply. We're going to comply. But my wife has one of those. Oh, we've got to tell you this. The badge that my wife says that she has a medical reason. The nurse, stewardess says, well, you can just get those on the internet, which is true. The stewardess has no right to question whether or not I have a medical. HIPAA, I got that law. I'll pull that up here in a second, right? So finally, after the captain goes back and sits in his seat, Michelle and I put our mask on and we fly to a half hour to Mosini Airport. No other incident. We didn't cause an incident. She threatened to throw us off and all that kind of stuff. Nothing else. So we go to Rob's and we spend the weekend, have a good weekend at Rob's. And we get up on Monday morning at 8:30. We show up at the airport. We check in at the airport. And the woman at the gate checks us and says, sir, just a minute. There seems to be an issue. Just a minute, please. So Michelle and I sat in timeout for a few minutes. Sorry, I'm running over my wires. And here comes some guy after about 10 minutes. Says, well, boy, sir, looks like we're not flying today. I said, what? Yeah, it seems that you guys are disruptive. We have evidence that you guys are disruptive. Disruptive? Yeah, you were disruptive here several times. We have an incident report here. We're not going to be able to fly. And we want you to go talk to our corporate and explain to them and answer some questions. Blah, blah, blah. Well, it degenerated from there, as you probably can imagine. I mean, talking to no corporate. Hey, folks, let me tell you. Are you looking at me? You don't have to wear a mask. It's not a law. It's not a law. Folks, hear me. It's not a law. And if my wife says I have medical reason to not put on my mask, that woman has no business forcing the issue. Are you guys hearing me out there? How long are you going to bend over and take it? How long? So I sit down with a guy for about 5 minutes. And you know me, I talk with my hands. And so at one point, he's telling me, we're going to go get so-and-so, and you can sit down. I said, listen, hey, dude, I recognize a rigged jury when I see it. I ain't going to go sit down with nobody from United Airlines and beg to get on the plane. I ain't going to do that. No, I'm not going to do it. So I'll tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to go rent a car, and I'm going to drive my ARSE home. That's what I'm going to do. We'll drive home. I'm not going to jump through any hoops, play any games, put on a fake mask, just because some Nazi woman says I have to. I'm not going to do it. By the way,
amen.
I have a medical reason and I have a religious reason for not putting that damn thing on. And you are not going to browbeat me and make me do it. I didn't say all that, but that's what I meant to say. So Michelle and I get up. And I'm walking towards the door to go rent a car. And I turn back to the guy and I said, pardon me. Where's the car rental? This is United Airlines. Where's the car rental? Isn't that what you would say? Pardon me. Where's the car rental? And he said, find it yourself. Unbelievable.
Incredible.
Find it yourself. Now, folks, I want you to stay with me here a second. I can show you right now on my computer. While I'm in Wisconsin, I got 4 different emails from United Airlines saying, looking forward to seeing you Monday morning. Your flight is going out at 8:30. If you would like to pre-check, you can go right here and pre-check. 4 different emails. And then Michelle and I show up at the gate, and they didn't have the decency to send me an email on Saturday or Sunday or Monday saying, hey, just a minute. When you get to the airport, there might be a delay. We have some questions that we would like to ask you before we permit you on the plane. No, no, no. They were just, dare I say it, bastards about it. We walked up down there. They could have given us a warning. They gave us no warning. We walk up there and they tell us we can't get on a plane.
It's all about control, Coach.
Hang on, Benny. Hang on. I was so proud of my wife. I was so proud of her. We were so stinking. Oh, I was ticked. I said, Lord, why not me? Give it to me, Lord. I'll fight this fight. I'm not afraid of those guys. It's time somebody started. Because you listen to me. It's a mask and I can't ride a plane today. And tomorrow, I won't be able to go to Kroger's. Then I won't be able to go pick your poison. Then I won't be able to go get gas.
That's the plan, Coach.
Right? And then the most amazing thing happened. I thought it was amazing. I looked all morning. The reason I'm not better prepared. Michelle and I are driving. there were no cars available at the airport. And most No cars, no rental cars available. They didn't have any cars. I sat there for an hour. The guy finally shows up. He said, gee, sorry, we don't have any. So I called Enterprise at Stevens Point. I think that's where it was. Stevens Point. Register. Got found one online at Stevens Point. Rob Pugh picks us up. He drives us to Stevens Point. We go in the car rental, Stevens Point. Oh, sorry, no cars. We don't have any cars. What? Yeah, we don't have any cars. So I got on Priceline again and scheduled another one. I booked another plane down in Appleton, Wisconsin. I got a tour of Wisconsin yesterday. Appleton, Wisconsin. Thank you, Rob Pugh. I called. They reserved one. I thought I was born at night, but not last night. So then I called Hertz and said, hey, listen, I just registered on Priceline. Do you have a car? If I get down there, do you have a car for me? And the lady says, well, sir, we don't have a car. We have a truck. I said, truck? She says, yeah, we have a beautiful white Dodge Ram pickup. I'm thinking 4 miles to gallon all the way to Ohio. I don't have any option, right? So, okay. All right. Well, I'll take it. Rob drives us down there. I said, listen, we need to stop and get a cowboy hat and the cowboy boots and some tobacco if I'm going to drive this pickup truck. Well, we did. We drove home. Took us about 8 hours. We made it home. Dropped a car off. And I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Mike, go ahead and play that. How long are you guys going to take it? How long? Go ahead.
Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel belt and radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone.
Me either!
I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
You can stop right there, Mike. That's me. Listen, here's something else that I learned. On the way up, if I had it to do over again, when I ran into that woman on the flight from Chicago, if I had it to do over again, I'd have made her arrest me. I'd have made him drag me off of that plane. But here's what we run into, right? And they know this. That would have been a great inconvenience. It would have really inconvenienced me. I would have missed my flight. I'm 5 hours from Wisconsin. I'm tired. How am I going to get there? I've already paid my money. Okay. All right. I get in. All right. You got me. All right.
That's exactly what they want, Coach. They just want compliance. Compliance without reason.
There it is, baby. Right there it is. Please, man. I'm sorry. Can I have some porridge, please? Please, man. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I want to breathe. I'm so sorry. Right? Right? Mike, bring up the HIPAA law. I haven't even looked at this. But there is such a thing. I don't know if you know this or not. The HIPAA law, I'm not going to read it. This is a federal law passed. It's a privacy law regarding your health. When I walk onto that airplane, or you walk into Walmart, or you walk in wherever, and you say to them, I'm sorry, I cannot put that mask on for health reasons. Hey, folks, end of story.
Dave.
Yes.
All right. Now, the airlines, too, are receiving bailouts from the federal government. So, therefore, that makes them not a private company any longer. The tax dollars are supporting the airline industry. So, therefore, they cannot make those regulations. They cannot make those demands on you without a law. And they're not, and that's it. Bottom line, they can't do that. And if she says, well, you can get those medical things online, it doesn't make my
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Chad. It doesn't matter, right?
That's right.
It doesn't matter. Hey,
it
folks.
It doesn't make yours invalid, your situation invalid. That's true, but these didn't come from there. Thank you.
So the NF, so I'm riding down the car. Keep that up there, Mike. I'm riding down the car and Rush Limbaugh's on. I'm going to try to find this later on today. I tried all morning to try to find it. Rush Limbaugh's on, and who calls in? Who do you suppose calls in? I'm not making it up. An airline pilot. An airline pilot calls into Rush Limbaugh and says, this is all bogus, boys. This is all bogus. Those masks don't do any good. There's all kinds of stuff circulating on that airplane. It's recycled air. Those masks don't do any good. This is what the pilot said. He didn't say it, right? And so Michelle tries to get on Rush Limbaugh. She's dialing, trying to get on Rush Limbaugh. Listen to me. If I thought it worked, I might comply. I might. But then I'm bored and I want to see how the Cleveland Browns did. So I go to ESPN app on my phone. I'm looking to see how the Browns did. They got murdered. And I'm looking, and there's 22 guys out on the field in two different huddles. They ain't got any masks on. Everybody's standing on the sidelines. They got helmets on. Some of them have masks on. They're socially distancing. But I guess the virus doesn't spread against those 22 guys out on the field. The 22 guys, and I guess. See, folks, they are making rules that cannot be followed for a purpose. Please listen to me. They are doing this on purpose as a means of social programming, right? Social programming. HIPAA law, which is right in front of you on there. I'm not going to read it now. It's a privacy rule. If you say, I have a medical reason why I can't wear this, end of story, airlines. End of story. And better yet, from my point of view, I have both a medical reason and a religious issue. And the First Amendment of the Constitution guarantees me the right to free exercise of my faith. Now, you can bend over and take it if you want to. I ain't going to do it. Mike Keith wrote a commentary today, and I'm just going to let Mike read his own commentary. I'm sorry if I'm making this show about me, because it's not supposed to be about me. It's supposed to be about you. It's supposed to be about you. You hear what I'm saying? I will not comply. I heard yesterday on somewhere that they think by November 1st they may have a vaccination. November 1st. You think you're going to let me on a plane without a vaccination? Going to let you on a plane without a vaccination?
Absolutely not.
So you better stand up and push back now. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead and read what you've written there.
So justice is driven back and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. That's from Isaiah, the 59th chapter. The coach, Rush. Rush Limbaugh's rich. He flies wherever he wants in the world in a private plane. Rich talk show hosts can afford that luxury. They don't mix and mingle with the regular folk. Average Americans, what some call the middle class, must actually live in the world that Rush talks about every day on his popular radio show. Rush gets it right more than most, but it is on his radio talk show host watch that America weakened to the point where one wonders whether the nation will exist in any sort of recognizable form 10 years from now. What happened?
Hang on, Mike, let me stop, because folks, that is so critical. Rush has been talking for 30 years. This has all happened as Rush talked. Go ahead, Mike.
We're good talkers. We're no good at walking it out. We've been trained from our earliest days to fear the principal's office and move to the next class when the bell rings. Whenever a man stands up or stands out, we're conditioned to force conformity. The result of this conditioning is the transformation we, the people, are experiencing right now from liberty to slavery. Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, solidly middle class, born, raised, and living in Hebron, Ohio, the internet talk show host, doesn't even imagine flying in a private plane. The coach always flies coach. But he can't even do that anymore. Yesterday, I guess, yeah, American, United, whatever, social scored him Chinese Communist Party style. After being called to the principal's office on his flight to his destination, he was judged unworthy of transport on a jet plane on his return. He and his wife had their paid for ticket stolen from them by the airline, and they were forced to rent a car and drive home. The airline refused to allow them on the plane, arguing that the coach had been mean to the stewardess on the inbound trip. Coach was told that they might allow him to fly again someday if he groveled before the corporation. Had Coach been mean to the stewardess? No. He merely asserted his convictions and pledge regarding wearing a mask. The tyrannical stewardess brushed aside Coach's wife's medical card, proving that she shouldn't wear a mask. She dismissed it, saying the card can be obtained on the internet. The stewardess referred the matter to the principal, the captain, who visited Coach and his wife in their seat. Forced by the highest authority on the plane to decide whether to be escorted from the plane or wear the stinking muzzle, they both submitted under protest. They bent over and took it, veiling their organ of speech for the next hour or two. Everyone else on the plane sat muzzled and unable to speak, observing the world through their fearful eyes only.
Amen, buddy. That is it. No one.
As he is wont to do, Coach turned the radio dial in the rental to Rush's show as he and Michelle headed east. They listened to Rush interview an airline captain discussing how unhinged his industry has become as a result of the pandemic. Millions of Americans thought, attaboy, Rush. Maybe they summoned the courage to click like on their Facebook page. But 99% of his listeners wouldn't dream of rushing the stewardess. That would be mean. And now we know it could cost us the right to even fly on an airplane. The nation that fashioned a Christian constitutional republic that went on to create the most egalitarian society ever is on the brink of disintegration, so that the global rich can erect a higher wall around their pedophilic safe spaces.
Amen.
And all the leaders of the West, with the exception of Donald Trump, a rich oligarch himself, are going along with it. Unlike all the nut jobs on the left, he doesn't prefer sex with other men or with children. Like normal men, he likes sexually powerful women. Soy boys don't know what they want, and we are all soy boys now. That's why a man like Coach stands out so much. And that's why so many of us instinctively want to silence him. Even though we know the mask doesn't do anything and the virus has killed almost nobody, we choose not to take the muzzle off and stand with him. We just continue to slouch toward the next technocratic and biologically insane demand by our communist overlords. I don't wear the muzzle. I'm not taking the vaccine. Even if Trump points his military's gun at me, I'm done submitting. I'll hang with men like the coach. I eat meat. It's long past time for the coach's rush.
Amen. Somebody come on in here. You think I'm crazy? You think I should have submitted? You think I was mean? I wasn't mean. I was firm. My wife was firm. We just said, we have this. See, I should have just, if I'd known they weren't going to let me on the next plane, I'd have made them throw me off the first one.
Amen, brother. Make them eat it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Don.
Hey, well, just to kind of back up what you're saying. So I coach flag football here in my community, four times a week, got a kindergartner and a third grader. And when we first started playing flag football, nobody was out there with masks, coach, parents, nobody's. Well, somebody squealed to the health department and, they sent a thing to the league saying, hey, your coaches aren't wearing masks. They were kind of nice about it. But tell your parents to wear a mask and social distance. Tell your coach. Well, I didn't wear them at all. So I get a text from the league leader yesterday afternoon, right before the game. And he says this, and I'll just read you the correspondence. Got another reminder from the health department. Please be sure you and your assistants wear masks at football. Remind your parents. I know it goes against your beliefs as it does mine, but we only have a couple more weeks to get through this. And I texted back. I said, nothing personal, but I'm not sure how to respond to this. The health department is a paper tiger. I will not be bullied by these tyrants. I'm certainly not going to tell another person that they need to wear a mask. And then I said, I'm not sure where this leaves us. And he said, you do what you got to do. I'm not into it either, but the goal is to get through the season. I have enough on my plate without dealing with a call from the health department, paper tiger or not. I said, you can give him my number. You can give him my number. I said, even if I wore a mask, most of the parents won't. It's not going to change anything. And he said, well, I'll deal with it. And I said, Tari, I don't mean to be a point of contention. I said, but they're using children as leverage and they're pitting citizen against a citizen. This is much bigger than just wearing a mask. So I go there last night. Every coach had a mask on except me. I was the only one out there other than the parents. The parents aren't wearing them. About 98% of the parents aren't wearing them, sitting on the sidelines, all huddled together. I was the only one out there without a mask. And like I said, guys, here's what I told my church Sunday morning. I said, you are a bunch of frogs being boiled in water, because if you will not say no to them to not wearing a mask, you will not have the faith to say no. I said, Jamie Walden said over the weekend, faith is like a muscle. It's got to be developed. I said, if you won't say no to them to wearing a mask when there isn't a law, you think you're going to say no to a vaccine, or you think you're going to say no to the mark of the beast? I said, you're fooling yourself. So that's where we're at here in America.
Okay, is there a cooler head out there that can a cooler head that can straighten us all out and explain to me why I really missed it? Come on in, Silver.
All right. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12 through the end of the chapter.
Let's get that up there, Mike.
And I'll read this.
Wait till we get it up there.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 12, Mike.
This is going to be good.
Okay, Silver, go ahead, bud.
Okay. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech.
Amen. Oh, they hate me for that, Joe. Well, go ahead.
Okay. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away is in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Can somebody say amen? It can't be.
Amen, Coach.
It can't be any more specific than that, can it? It can't be any more specific than that.
John 8:36, the Dale New Updated Version says this: whom the Son masks free is free indeed.
So, right, really, hey, folks, in what Joe just read to us here, take out veil and put on mask. Take off veil and put on masks.
Wow. I got to give a line of credit here to my daughter, who quoted this scripture to her school, where her son is a senior and daughter is a freshman, about this. And that was her religious argument for this. And they're still trying to give her basically hell about it. And she's still fighting them. But it's an interesting fight.
Joe, good for, because it's not, it's, can I do a demonstration here for you? Watch this. So I'm on the airplane, right? I'm on the airplane, and they bring me by my little cracker and my little cup of drink, right? And they say, I've been sitting on the plane for 30 minutes, breathing in and out my own, whatever I'm breathing in and out. And they come by and they say, here, sir, here's your little cracker and here's your little drink. You can remove your mask to drink. What happens to all that stuff trapped in here?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I was telling Bobby at the Kentucky huddle, was having a conversation about being mad as hell, and I don't know. My feeling is if we could get enough media coverage, probably wouldn't be worth it if we couldn't. But if we could just get two or three or four of us to walk up to those human cages in California or the steps of the Capitol and meet with Nancy Pelosi and just say, you may as well go ahead and put us in them cages or tie us to the pole in the Coliseum, because we're not going to comply.
Amen. I hear you, Clay. I hear you.
Hey, Coach, right. You need to put it.
Unfortunately, it's happening locally. It's happening statewide, unfortunately. Go ahead, Dale. Coach,
yeah,
Dale,
here's a new theme
Dale,
song.
Dale, then Joe. Go ahead, Dale.
All right. I think you need to pull up this song and just play. Obviously, it's not a Christian song, but I think it's the theme for you, buddy, and it'll fire your blood up. It's by Twisted Sister, and the song is We're Not Gonna Take It.
We're not gonna take it. No, we're not gonna take it. We're not gonna take it anymore. Come on in, Joe, while we find that.
Coach, now, what you need to tell your representatives and your senators and all of that, okay, is, you know, you can put me in jail? No. You're fired. Simple as that. If you don't walk out of this job now, we're going to kill you eventually. It's simple as that. Because that's not government of the people.
Nobody wants to admit this, right? But that didn't the Declaration of Independence, John, you're smarter than me, help me out here, but didn't the Declaration of Independence say that the freedom need, what was it? Freedom need to be, what's the word I'm looking for? With the blood of patriots, right? Yes, it says that.
The tree of liberty must be watered.
Thank you. The tree of liberty. Tom, is there, see if there's a chair right around there, Tom. I'll pull you in here.
Amen.
With the blood of patriots and tyrants. Yep.
Yeah, the tree of liberty must be watered with the blood of patriots and tyrants, right? That's what it says. What does that mean? Yeah, it'll hold you, Tom. So listen, real quickly here, switching gears. The attorney shows up. Tom Condit stayed in my house last night. He had a case yesterday. Right, here's the microphone, so they'll hear you good, Tom. And let me unplug this so let's see so Tom can hear you guys.
Coach, I was up there talking some theology with your wife.
Just how'd she do? How'd she do? So Tom and I, you know, Tom is the one that's been defending Alicia, who the case was dropped.
Right.
He went with Mike Blake yesterday and won a victory with Mike Blake. He goes back today with John Tuttle. Tom is working locally. All of these cases, these people would have lost because they had to pay $2,000 to hire an attorney. And Tom and Roger stepped to the plate a little bit, and we're winning some of these cases. But I was talking to my friend Tom Condit yesterday also about what they did to me on the plane. What's your reaction on that, Tom?
My reaction was twofold. One, that, well, of course, it's an outrage. I could hear you ranting all the way upstairs. It's an outrage. And it's I obviously the one stewardess had something in her craw beyond just a mask. And I personally think with you having wearing this hat and a Jesus T-shirt of some kind.
Yeah, they don't like that.
I think there's actually a religious discrimination claim here that would have to be explored. But,
yep. Well, we're in the tour, we're spelunkers.
That's an outrageous thing, and we need to.
Good catch, Tom.
Keep talking about.
Okay, now, folks, let me. John Dunn, you'll find this interesting. Tom, I'm not telling anything out of school here, Tom met yesterday with some young attorneys who are suing Governor Michael DeWine. Can tell us whatever you think you can tell us about that.
Okay.
Tom.
Well, no, I actually talked to him on the phone last week, late last week. One of them. There's two of them. I consider it to be a very underplayed story. I think the press kind of spiked it because they sued. I think it was about 2 weeks ago today or yesterday.
Get out of here.
They sued. They filed a lawsuit against DeWine, challenge in the United States District Court, which is federal court, I believe in Toledo, but it's the Northern District of Ohio. And it's challenging the state of emergency, you know, which of course is what underlies everything. And I talked to them just because I called them and I understood from reading a press release, these were probably just two solo attorneys. This wasn't some big law firm. Mm-hmm. And I was right. These are two little guys that are just work on their own and they're friends. And they filed this lawsuit.
They've done a lot of research.
The lawsuit I was able to find online and someone sent it to me also, the complaint, is really a merger of complaint and memorandum, but it touches virtually every one of the issues arising for all the restrictions, whether it's masks, whether it's kids in schools. And I mean, they've touched every base and they've got a lot of medical experts, I think, that they've dealt with.
Bottom line, Tom, do they have the authority to do this?
Does who have the authority?
The governor, his health department, whatever.
Well, I think my answer to that is that in a serious enough health, in a true life-threatening, society-threatening pandemic, I think the government would have the authority under the health and safety provisions of even the Ohio Revised Code. Mm-hmm. I think they would be able to clamp down and say, we can't have the human race wiped out. We need to survive. The problem is this has never been anywhere close to that. And so many of the restrictions are not based on science. They're arbitrary and capricious, which is the foundational problem of a lot of constitutional law. And it's got to be attacked because it's not what they say it is. And there's no science to back it up. And the infringement on liberties is overwhelming as compared to what the actual problem is. That's the problem.
Hey, folks, look, I'm going to let you ask Tom a question here in a second. Up on the screen right now, we haven't really pushed this very hard. It's the Christian Defense Fund. How many times have you been up to Columbus?
Well, since you got me involved the first case back in May, this is probably the fifth or sixth time.
Time he's come up to defend these guys free. Mike Blake and Johnny Tuttle and I'm forgetting.
Veronica Hirsch.
Veronica Hirsch and Alicia. And he hadn't asked for a nickel. He hadn't asked for a nickel, but we want to pay him. You can help us if you go right there. Raise up some money. He never says to me, hey, coach, sorry, hey. You didn't pay the bill yet. I'm sorry. I can't come and help. Give him your philosophy on that. Because you told me one time, if I can't defend a guy like you, I might as well give him a law license.
Well, you are. I mean, that was my dad and his partner, a little law firm, were representing all these pro-lifers in a huge Hickman case when I was in law school. And I watched their sacrifice, and they never sent an invoice to anybody. And I just, that's just how, and I was on your show a month or so ago, maybe touched on this. So that was always, look, I was always a solo guy, working along with my dad and his partner. And, you know, I did things that were just straight up practice of law, what we call the bread and butter of your practice. I made enough money, not a lot, but I made enough money to be able to then do what I wanted in the realm of Christian civil liberties. And to me, it was always just not only a moral duty to do it, but a love to do it. There's no better people in the world than the Christian activists out there.
You told me yesterday, man, when you go into court with a pro-lifer, man, you got the real deal.
It's just fun. It's just fun. You know, you got somebody that's on the side of the angels, and what is there to fear? You go in and fight, but it is, I mean, you know, you're kind of trying to raise some money and talk about paying me. I guess I just want people to know. We've talked about this. I mean, if
we can win these fights if we fight.
Right. And if we get a little, what I'd like to do is just do this stuff full time and not even deal with the other stuff where you got to make some money.
That's what you come.
Yeah.
It's meaningless. It's people fighting over money or people fighting over injury claims and all that. And there's a phone book full of lawyers that will do all that stuff. And it has in the end, it has nothing to do with the salvation of anyone's soul. So I'd rather just do this full time, and a little money on a monthly basis would help. And that's what
we're trying to do.
Coach, tell us what the website address is for that Christian Defense Fund.
Mike, what is that web? Somebody just asked what the website is. It's on GoFundMe. And I think it just says Christian Defense Fund. I think that's what it says. Mike set it up there. And I haven't really pushed it very hard. I haven't really had it. But even if you just wanted to donate to pass the salt, just put in a memo, Legal Defense Fund. We'll do it. Listen, he's worthy of his wages. He doesn't badger us about money. And he comes and he fights. He fights just as hard, whether he's doing it for free or whether he's getting $1 million out of it. He fights for it. And look, folks. If we win some of these cases come with legal fees, meaning if we win, Tom's attorney fees get paid. But we have to engage. If we don't get engaged, we'll never win these fights.
And okay, clear, Coach,
strikes,
I got to ask you a question.
Hang on, Jack. Go ahead.
No, just so it's clear. The criminal, there's no way to get fees paid to win the criminal case. Right. But if our rights were violated and we get vindicated of it in criminal court,
like Alicia,
then there's mm-hmm. there's a constitutional civil rights claim that can be made where we are the plaintiff suing the officer, suing the government. Amen. And in that scenario, if we win, they have to pay our fees.
Amen. Jack, go ahead.
So what Tom said is exactly what I was getting ready to ask you. So we really don't want to be a Christian defense fund. We want to be a Christian offense fund.
Well said,
because words mean words. Words have meaning. I don't want to be on the defense. I'm going to be on the offense.
You said, why are we always playing defense?
Yeah, Mike, maybe we need to clean that up. Mike, you call it a Christian offense fund. Because a lot of these battles, see. So are we going is Eastern Airlines, they going to hear from us? Well, I think they might hear from us, right? As long as they continue to do this and we don't fight back, we're going to get exactly what we want. Anybody else?
Besides, Coach, is we're supposed to not sue our brothers and sisters. Doesn't say we can sue.
Yeah, the Bible says not to sue our brothers and sisters, right? Yes. I tell everybody that David cut off the head of Goliath with Goliath's own sword. Right,
yeah, kind of important to figure out who your brothers and sisters are, right?
Well, that's important too, Larry. But also,
what's
the sword that the ACLU and their ilk are cutting our heads off with? They're cutting it off of the legal system. So we need to be able to pick up that same sword and chop off their head as well.
Amen.
One more thing. Look, we always try to resolve a case without a lawsuit.
Always do.
I mean, we make very reasonable settlements. I'm not like making crazy demands for, you know. But, you know, when somebody's wrongfully arrested, spend time in jail, prosecuted, has attorney fees, it's reasonable to recover those things. And I always make very reasonable demands. And sometimes I've told people think us, the pro-lifers, that we're the extremists. Let me tell you, the extremists are the ones in government.
Amen.
Those prosecutors, those mayors, these are grounded ideologues. They're not going to get, they'd rather risk losing a civil suit and having to pay us $150,000 in fees 4 years from now than settle it now for $3,000.
You hear that?
Yeah. I've had that many times.
That's what's going on. Because they're playing with house money, aren't they? Yeah. They're playing with house money. They're not playing with their own money.
That's right.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to let you know, Pastor Bill and I were talking the other day. We might have to shoot off a phone call to Tom. The stuff we're doing up there on the public square in Mount Vernon, I've gotten contacted by the city law director, the mayor's office. Now the cop came to the square last Saturday and basically told us he didn't even want us going over and talking to them Democrats. I said, what? It's like,
Mount Vernon, Jeff, and now the city doesn't want them to be able to do it because it's upsetting some people. So,
yes. You know, I didn't even recognize Jeff there. Hello, Jeff.
Pastor Bill said maybe we're better. Pastor Bill says,
you know, that's, you know, classic First Amendment law. The fact that protests might offend someone else is utterly irrelevant to your rights. In fact, there's a famous case that came out of Illinois, someone versus the village of Skokie, where where Nazi groups were parading through Jewish neighborhoods with the swastikas and everything. And it never went to the U.S. Supreme Court, but the Illinois Supreme Court upheld the rights of those Nazis
to
march right through the Jewish neighborhoods because offending somebody, there's case law that says the whole purpose of the First Amendment is to invite controversy.
That's right.
That's the purpose.
Unpopular speech. So we're not going to take it. No, we're not going to take it. We're not gonna take it anymore.
Hey, Coach, real quick.
Yeah, go.
Don't forget Jesus' parable about the widow and the judge.
Now, the widow and the unjust judge, and she kept pulling on his tail until he finally said, that's enough of that, right?
That's enough of that, yeah.
He says, you persistent old woman here. What do you need? What can I do for you? So
just because someone doesn't like it doesn't make it illegal.
Just because they don't like it doesn't make it illegal. God bless you, folks. Thanks, Tom. All right, we'll see you all tomorrow. All right.